I want to first start off by addressing the injuries. We've just completed tests on both Kyle and Albert, and I look at this as good news. We'll have them both back. We're expected to have them both back for the playoffs. We were all very concerned about Albert's condition after the game. He has an MCL sprain, just an MCL sprain, and that oftentimes is 10 days to 2 weeks. So there's no doubt in our mind that he'll be back. We sent Kyle out for some tests this morning. We got the results back. Kyle will be undergoing a minor surgery to repair a muscle. And the specialist has every reason to think that he also will be back for the playoffs. So we've got good news there as far as it relates to both Kyle and Albert. We had one other injury in the ball game. That was Kerry Williams. He pulled a quad, and we're still evaluating that. So from an injury standpoint, nothing else to report on the rest of the club. Everybody was fine, but good news on both Kyle and Albert. Questions?
Are you in a position where you may need to make a roster move to add a defensive lineman?
There's always that possibility, but we've got depth. We've got depth here, and we've got the younger guys are playing well. I think he's probably got a better chance. He's had one before and came back off it very quickly. So I think you got a better chance at as an interior lineman than you do as a skilled player.
Is it kind of a different alternative for Kyle after things didn't work?
No, it's not a different alternative. It's a result of a new injury that he suffered in the Cleveland game. It's not an ongoing thing. This was a separate injury, and we evaluated him last week and felt it was neat to go out and see specialists.
What injury, same groin?
Yeah, same region, but a different injury.
You already stressed, under some stress depth-wise when Kyle came out. Both of them have.
Yeah, I mean, they were in the Pro Bowl last year. They're good players, but we've had played some games where we've been without them, and we've been okay. And I thought William Hayes played very well in the ball game yesterday. So we've got depth out there, and Jacob's getting his sacks, and we all know what Dave can do, and we've got Jason back, and Jason played well yesterday, so we're in good shape.
You shut those guys down for a couple of weeks.
I'm not going to go into specifics regarding their rehabilitation, but no, we're going to get them ready to play in the playoffs.
When Kerry's on the day like he was yesterday, where it really seemed like he was inaccurate, is there a point in a game like that where you adjust because he's not been fine once, or do you presume that the next throw is going to be?
I think yesterday was a combination of everybody taking turns, receivers cutting a route off a little short, flattening out a route, not accelerating through the ball, and then Kerry misfiring at times. So it was not just all the quarterback. It never is, but I think it was a combination of things. We had many opportunities on the field to make plays. Going back and looking at the ball game would not change anything that we've done other than hope that we made some more plays during the game. But the last sequence, the decision to go for it on 4th-and-3, we would do that again. I felt like it was the right decision. We had an opportunity to make a big play, just didn't make it.
Did you feel like in a situation here, you were able to catch them, you had the chance to catch them on guard, or was it just the feeling that you could
we had receivers open, and we just didn't make the play.
I didn't need to go into too much detail yesterday, but you say Rob kicked maybe 48.9 yard range was short on a lot of this.
Rob's limit was the 28-yard line. Anything outside, he was barely making them from the 28-yard line. Line scrimmage was the 32. I'm not going to put Rob in that position to fail. I mean, we knew. The process is anytime your wind's involved, I know what his distance is going to be, and where the outer limits of the distance is. And if I'm going to ask him to go out there, then it's on me if it's well beyond that. But this was a different situation. This is evolving into the game. We had timeouts left. We had opportunities to make plays, and we didn't. We also had a 4-minute defensive fail. And so, we had opportunities to win this game and just didn't.
When he goes out before down against the judges distance. Does he go back out at halftime, and if the wind had changed, has in 3 hours?
Yeah, he'll kick when he comes back out at halftime.
Pretty much the same.
The wind did not change, yeah.
Jeff, given the fact that Kerry was having, shall we say, did you ever think about using this?
No, I didn't.
Think about it starting at the end of the game? Yeah,
no, because we had a chance to win. I mean, Kerry brought us back and put us in position, and we were close. We just didn't make the last play. But I didn't consider that. I didn't feel like at any time he was slumping or it was his fault. We were taking turns. Everybody was taking turns offensively. And I'm going to credit their defense, too. Their defense played well.
You look at both corner penalties, and you think both of them should have been called up.
I think I mentioned this yesterday. It's the responsibility of the defensive player to avoid helmet-to-helmet contact on a quarterback, regardless of what the quarterback does. And in this particular case, the quarterback, as Corden made contact, the initial contact was on the shoulder, and the finishing blow ended up in the face. That's just the way it is. Sometimes that's called, sometimes that's not.
Was that maybe... as active and disruptive as Javon has been all year, and how dangerous is he when somebody's kind of bootlegging towards the side?
Yeah, I mean, his chase speed still is clearly there, and I think that Matt may have underestimated the speed, but that was a huge play. He was disruptive. A big part of their offensive game plan was the bootleg series, and we got him out of it because of Javon's presence on the field.
Did you see this call in the Steelers game, and do you think that was called correctly?
I saw the play. It's a very unique play. According to, I didn't see the camera angles and so on and so forth. So, according to what I've heard, they felt like they made the right decision. It's unique with the receiver trying to keep his feet in the end zone as he leaves the end zone and enters the field to play. But apparently they had a shot that showed possession and the ball over the point.
But the main call there is the ball has to cross the...
You have to have possession of the football as it crosses the plane or across the plane for it to be a touchdown.
Why then when they mentioned the feet, but in the middle of that end zone... ball hitting the plane is the thing. Missed emphasis by them. There's so much conversation about the feet. The guy could be coming out of the end zone there and have the ball across, obviously, right?
Well, in this case, the initial ruling on the field was that he had possession, but when he made possession, he was out of the end zone. That's why they ruled it a few inches or 6 inches short. And they went back and reviewed it and felt like he had possession. And when he had possession, the ball was across the plane. The front plane of the goal line is really all you need to break.
Let's get your early impressions of the Steelers, what you've seen of them on tape or anything so far.
Well, they're clearly the best defense in the league right now. And I think the thing that stands out the most is their efficiency, their red zone efficiency. Like their numbers like 31%. And, I mean, good numbers are in the 50s or 60s, so they're exceptional keeping people out of the end zone.
Disappointing after the great start this year to be in a position where, to get home field throughout, it's you must win on Sunday.
If you would have told me when the season started that if we could beat the Steelers in the second to last game of the season for home field playoffs, home field advance on the playoffs, I said that would take that. Now, the issue, as we stand today, as I talked to the team, was that, we let this one slip away. We beat ourselves in this one. But there's really no difference between the start of the game and where we are now. We need to beat Pittsburgh to have, to get that second game. So it would be a great, great ball game.
It seems like guys I know are obviously upset that they've been all season yesterday. Can that work to your advantage?
I think if we maintain the same philosophy, which is a one-week-at-a-time philosophy, and put behind us a win or a loss as we've been able to do, then we'll be successful.
They touched on grounding. There were two plays within a short span there. One got caught and one didn't. Were they distinctly different, or were they, in your opinion, kind of the same?
Looking at them, they're both tough calls. They can go either way. I probably would have ruled the second one intentional grounding and not the first one. But they can go either way. So that's a subjective call by the referee, and he needs help from the other officials. In the second play, the umpire came in and said that he had a tight end in the area, and So, they, you know, they waved it off.
I don't upset the courtroom at all, especially when we're having an issue.
No, I mean, no, we, you know, I thought we were inches away from having a big play, a sack and a cause fumble, and I can't fault him for the helmet-to-helmet hit, not at all, and he's an aggressive player, and no, I'm not, I mean, he understands he's got to back down a little bit, but you know, you can't ask a player like Cortland with his ability to back down, change his game.
Does a kicker's demeanor or maybe what he says to you on the sideline ever enter into your equation as to what your decision is?
No. It's all about the distance and the leg and the decision that we make early in the ballgame. You know, there's times to take a shot at and times not to. But there's not. I mean, Rob's going to go out if on his own if it's within his range and it's time to kick, or he's going to go out if I ask him to give it a shot. So I'm not talked into anything or talked out anything.
That doesn't. Run out
on his own. Yeah, he was mentally, he was ready to go out and make the kick, so he went out.
Jim, we talked about the Pittsburgh game, and last week Romeo Crennel tried to take two straight timeouts. How difficult can it be keeping all the rules in the rule book straight, particularly under game situations? We've seen a few instances this year of people not quite sure what should have happened until it gets explained a day later. Is it tough to keep up and learn with all the rule changes?
Are you speaking from a coach's perspective or from general officiating perspective?
Coach perspective. I mean, obviously, you're co-chair of the competition committee. How tough is it, say, for you to keep up with all the proposed changes and what's their name?
Well, it's not difficult to keep up with the changes. I mean, I think what happens is sometimes head coaches have a tendency to get caught up in the motions of the game, especially at the end of the game, and lose sight of some of those things. And, I mean, it's our responsibility to manage games. And there are a lot of subtle rules in the book that I think people are unfamiliar with, but I think the longer you're in it, the better understanding that you'll have of it. So, the situation last week with Cleveland, they called timeout, we're moving on to the next play, and then they had 10 guys on the field in a critical situation, so, the instinctive obvious thing to do is call timeout, and obviously they let them have it, but I think generally the coaches have a good feel for the game, for the rules, and for the understanding, but there are always going to be things that come up. I mean, for example, we had 3 weeks ago when we had the catch on the sideline where the toes came down and then the heels followed. Okay, that's something that we hadn't seen in years, and so I think the officiating department handled that correctly as they explained it to me. I didn't see the heels come down, but I saw the toes, and so there are things that are going to come up, and I think communication is necessary between the crews and between the staff, so that we can avoid different situations. There's been situations over the years where I've helped them at times, just because you have an understanding of the rules.
Being an experienced Friday night coach in Harrisonburg, how thrilling was that for you as a child?
Well, as a parent, it was exceptional. I mean, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I was just fortunate timing-wise that everything kind of worked together so I was able to attend.
Very fitting that the championship's in Chattanooga. That's not too far away. He's planning for that.
I'm sure that'll be a good game as well. We're working on the arrangements right now. If anybody's got some tickets, call me.
Thanks.